says recording. That's recording. What?
Terminkauses.
Okay, good. Give out the sheets. Okay. One sheet per person. I wanted to do a shtickle on Purim. That's obviously the Zman now. It's a shtickle that comes, it's Reb Tzadik HaKohen's a shtickle. The sefer that's physically photocopied from is called Nachshav HaTzadik. It's somebody who put together all his pieces on Adar and Purim in one sefer. They've done it in Rosh Hashanah, they've done a few other Sfarim. It's his words, it's his pieces. I just took it from Sfarim. I believe this is from Rassisi Laila, probably. That's where most of his Harim Purim. And it's a piece that really deals with one of the fundamental concepts of Purim, the sense of the unique Nekuda of Nahafoich, and the tzura of Nitzachin on Esav and so on. Really, really very deep Nekuda. Let's start with the piece. It's on the Amud Kuf Lamed Beis, the piece in the middle over there, photocopied as the beginning piece. I simply did it to save a piece of paper. Inyan Kriyas Mei Purim Al Shema Pur Vu Agoyrol. So he stalls on the following. The Pasuk says, Hippel Pur Hu Agoyrol. So it's a very strange. I mean, in Lashon Kodesh, you don't find Lamosha Yigarsa Dusa translated in the Torah. Occasionally, Achastaronim Bnei Aramachim, we don't know what it means, the Gemara says. We don't find a Hebrew translation given to us courtesy of the Megillah. The Megillah says it, and either assumes we know what it is, or we can figure out from the context, and so on. To say that we need Hippel Pur Hu HaGorol is a little bit unnecessary, it's kind of extra. It's quite clear from the context what it is. Also, the word "hu hagorol," people poor hu gorol. I mean, if you want to translate, if you're giving a translation of a word, you would say hu gorol. It seems as if the Megillah is telling us, it's two things that are equal. This is this. So let's see. Why is the Pasuk using a Persian Lashon translating a Hebrew? Because people called it, in other words, I'll keep pshat. People called it that way, and that's the name they gave it. It says, but it means, so in pshat, it has a simple pshat. You call it Pur because this was a very critical piece, and people called it Pur, and people called it Purim, and that's why it's called it there. But he's going to give us another pshat. Now, he's going to say something now, and then he's going to give it a broader context in the next paragraph. Let's see the Nekudis is about the Goral, and then the more important thing is the broader context he gives. Vihine says, HaGoral Eino Mikra. The concept of a Goral, of a lat, is not a Mikra. K'moy shenemar ume Hashem kol mishpotoy, that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes all the mishpot, ki ha'kol anhoges Hashem yisparach. V'cholo umos gamken hamine b'goralis. All Umasolim also believe in a Goral. Ela shekol ha'amim yelchu ish b'shem alohav. Heim sore umasam and higimosam. Shekol pulosem nimshach mehem. Uke moishem rak lesho. Kach kol pulosem generosa gorolosehem. Fimashin yelisho. Let's stop and let's discuss this. The concept of a Goral has in itself two very different meanings or understandings with the way we use it. First of all, a goral actually has a halachic validity. there's brought down Shaharcha a few times that whenever you have stalemates, Moshe, a tzibur has to choose something and there's no way of prioritizing, throwing a girl is appropriate, sometimes in nachlas. You know, in cases, in court cases, where you come up to a point of impossible to decide, girl is mentioned in a bunch of places as you throw gorillas to decide who would have first choice or whatever it is, and so on and so forth. A gorel has in itself two levels of meaning. One is that it is not predetermined. For instance, if I want to pick, a teacher wants to pick who gets to have the lead role in a play. So whoever he picks, they're going to say, oh, it's the teacher's pet, it's because this one's father is famous, this one's father's rich, this one's father's powerful. Everything that he'll do will always be ascribed to some sort of cause. So I say, okay, I'm going to toss a coin. So tossing a coin basically is a statement that it has no cause. That's what I'm doing when I'm throwing a gorel. When I speak of gorel, I can speak of it as blind fate. And meaning something mufka from any cause. That's one meaning of the word gorel. And in that case, it would be totally aligned with our concept of mikra. Mikra means no predetermined, not predetermined at all, no cause, no specific cause. The flip side of it is, but Klal Yisrael is called Hashemu Goroli. We don't mean to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu flipped a coin and chose us. We speak of a Gorol as being a Klal Yisrael's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gorol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Klal Yisrael's Gorol. The Nachla in Eretz Yisrael, we gave al pi a Gorol. So yes, if you have a bunch of people inheriting some estate, and they're killing each other, who should get what, and everybody's at each other's throat, and there's no way to out of the mess, we say, Rabbi Yisai, we're going to throw a lot, everyone's going to draw a straw, v'zeh, that's it. That makes sense because we're helpless, we can't do anything, and that's what we do. What does it mean they divided up Eretz Yisrael pi'a gorel? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't decide who gets what, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol threw up his hands and said, okay, we can just pull out a lot from that. Ridiculous. Arab, and it says that the goral was tzoveach, that I'm all here and I'm all there. The answer is, goral goes past the concept of Siba and Mesovev, and it goes to an area where the cause is so much in the background that we don't understand it either. It's directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, I guess if we need to picture it, we have in the scheme of events that happen, we have an event that happens because of a direct cause and effect. This happened because of this. So there, that's locked into our sense of cause and effect, teva, history, dynamics of society and societies and so on. There's an area that is, let's say, it's not cause and effect, it's just blind fate. It's just no reason. And that's the most, let's call it tevadik, the least seicheldik, the least shayach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there would be such a metzias. And then there's something that comes from a cause that is so far behind natural cause and effect that I can't see it. And that means it comes me Hashem. Whereas direct cause and effect, I get some interference. Listen, it happened because this, and this. Maybe a Kodesh Baruch had a hand in it, maybe a Kodesh Baruch who caused this, but at the end of the day, I still see it within cause and effect. But when I have something which is so far behind cause and effect that it comes from such a deep source that I don't see it, that is something that is rooted most deeply in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have two extraordinary opposite, almost polar opposite definitions of what a girl is. We have the girl being something which comes from the deepest recesses of Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is cause and effect, the ultimate cause and effect, the ultimate Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is so deeply rooted in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we can't understand it in terms of cause and effect here. And then we have things that are causeless and effectless. It's completely whim. We tossed a coin and we decided he'll get this, he'll get this. There's no rhyme or reason for it. So Umis HaOlam have a certain tfis in Gorolos, and their Gorol means just a temporary solution for a problem that comes from no place. And by us, the understanding of Gorol is that it's coming from someplace way, way rooted in Ratz Hashem. Let's consider a thing at a minute. This is a point that he's going to be making here. Let's think about the value of that Gorol. So, those things that come by rhyme and reason have some sort of lasting effect. L'mashal, if I say so-and-so invested money in different projects, different funds, and he was very, very successful, and he was able to earn a year, and 2 years, and 5 years, and 10 years, X amount of his investments. So I would say, well, I see a pattern here, and it's very likely that this person will keep investing money, he'll keep making a lot of money, and it's good I invest with him. Let's say somebody gave a dollar bill for a lottery ticket and he won the lottery. So what do I say about that? That he's a smart investor and he knows where to put his money, or he knows which lottery ticket to buy, and maybe I should just keep giving dollars to buy lottery tickets. No, it's a fluke. It's a one-time event. That's all it is. That's all it will be. It's not going to be anything else. So, in the Gairo, when I flip a coin because I have to resolve a problem, and I have a half a dozen people tearing the state apart, and I say, okay, we're going to flip a coin, and that's how we'll divide it up. That says nothing about my future ability to solve anything. I've established nothing. But if I throw a Gairo, and if it's the girl that it's Yisrael is Nischalik by, which means it was Megala Erotzen Hashem much deeper than cause and effect on this level, that chelik stays forever, because that chelik is rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's coming, anything that's within the context of cause and effect this world, lest the double become bottle, because the cause and effect will run its course. But something that's so deep that it's a girl, that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's inner Ratzon, that's something that will stay always. So let's see what he says here. U'kemoy shem rak l'shoah, kach kol pulosem v'chein hiroas ger l'seihem u'kefim yeshenyin l'shoah. So just like Umas Olam, their gods, their everything about it is temporary, it's just within a context of time and cause and effect and so on, so it only lasts that much. So by goyim, since their whole mitzias, so yes, they say that when you throw a goyrol, the gods determine that so and so shall inherit it. But all of it is a whim, and all of it is shayach to the moment, and it has no permanent effect whatsoever. Like we said before, if a person won a lottery by investing $1, then all it says is that he was lucky. Unless he's three or four times able to win a lottery each time, then at least he has connections somewhere, right, and might be worth investing with him. But other than that, it means nothing. Whereas the person investing something and constantly making money, it shows something. So he says, the after gamke avol goyrol haman after gamke lo yedover reik, his goyrol meant something. It's meaningful. It has some value. It turned out to be our Yeshua. Avil, but he says Hayrosoi Hayarakifi Masha Ilmaris Ayn Lisha. The effect of his girl, the way he wanted to, was very temporary. Okay, so the first point Reb Tzadik makes is about the difference in Goral, between Goral being an extraordinary revelation mitzad, the ultimate Ras Hashem, to a momentary whim that has no rhyme, no reason, no sibah, no mesovah, and so on and so forth. That's one piece. Now he's going to a point that's his main point. It's a deeper look at this point over here. And let's take a look at it. Avol be'emes la'mito v'nafachu ki hay alma shu olam adimyan k'may shenema b'shuv Hashem shiva sion v'hinu k'cholmim nikra alma d'shikra shu'ef ha'emes v'chol shlita sasom yudeimu rak by alma hamara kol dimyan hefach ha'emes v'chein kol ha'raseyem. Let's talk about this and let's get to the point that he's making here. There's a word in Lashon Kodesh that does not have, it's an extremely important word and does not have a counterpart in English, certainly not the way we use it colloquially. The word dimyon, which is alternately translated as imagination, fantasy, and so on, is not at all where the word comes from in Hebrew. On a simple surface level, it practically means the same. But it's Lashon Kodesh is giving us a whole different understanding of that word. Let's give an example. If I use Kodesh Baruch Hu created a world that's called Alma Rishikra. Our world is called the world of falsehood. Alma Rishikra, false world. I think I once told over that there was elections in Israel 1 year, and there weren't 1 year. The elections happened every so often. That's quite a frequent occurrence in Israel. And the Labour Party at that time, the left wing parties were all the three letters was Emes, Aleph Mem Tov. And there was a combination of different parties that, by the end, you know, they sorted out the letters. That's how the letters came out. So I was standing behind Rabbi Tzir Abba Shaul Zechon Evracha. He was from the Sephardi Giants, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, tremendous Lamdin, very big, very extraordinary person. And also, he's with wits about him. And he was standing somewhere in line. I don't remember where it was. I was standing behind him, and the guy behind the counter, I think, wanted to chap him, I think, good-naturedly. He said, Kvod Rav, Hayom Hitzbati Emet. Today I voted Emes. So he looked at him, and he smiled, and he says, Nachon, Nachon, he says. It's very true. The Alma de Shikra ze Emet. In a world of Sheker, this is the Emes in the world of Sheker. That was he said it very, very pleasantly, very good-naturedly. But what does it mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu had a world of Sheker? If Chosama Kodesh Baruch Hu was Emes, on what does a world of Sheker exist? So let's give an example. I tell somebody, you know what? This man's paintings are extraordinary. They're worth millions of dollars. Look at this painting of a forest, of a tree, of a sea, of a person, whatever it is. And I turn to him and I say, but it's fake. There's no person there. There's no tree. There's no water. What is on his ball from? It's mirage. So the answer will be, if you're buying the picture of the ocean as seafront property, you are fooled. That's a fake. But if you use it to understand about it, you use it to understand something real. It shows something about the power of the waves, the loneliness of the sea, or whatever it is. Then there's an emes to it. So let's be magdirit correctly. Dimyon is sheker as its own mitzias, and it's emes as a dimyon of something else. The word dimyon means likeness. In as much as this shows you what something else is, it's kula emes. So the person that's tofes that painting as a picture in its own right, as a sea resort, or as a house, that person is living in a world of Shekin, of Dimyan. The person who's tofes the house, the painting, as the Dimyan of something, is tofes it be'emes. It's an extraordinary paradox, but that's what it is. This world is a world of Sheker, and it's a world that's kulei emes. And it depends how our tfisa is in it. If we tofes this world as, for instance, let's take an example. There's a sefer called Shir HaShirim. And Shir HaShirim, if a person sings those words in a bar, Chas V'Shalom, it's a Gemara that says, I'm not saying it, the person is a Mecharef and Megadef. This is what's called Shir HaGavim, Nivel Peh, and so on. So if a person, and it's not only if he happens to sing it, if a person is toifis, the physical tsura of Arayas as a Dovah Shal Yesh, it's Sheker. It's Kulei Dimyan. If a person is toifis, Arayas, Ava, as a Mashal, then it's Kulei Emes. The Rambam says it. When the Rambam speaks about Avosa Tiske Tomid, he says the tsura of Avos Hashem and Dveikus and Torah is Nafshi Choylas Avosecha. It's like a person who's Choylas Ava, and the person is walking around. We ask ourselves, is it possible a person should be so involved and so caught up in something that nothing means anything to him anymore? Yes, we have a mush like that. But that mushal myth in itself is kulei dimyan, it's kulei sheker. When that mushal is used as a dimyan for something right, it's kulei emes. So we have a world that's called alma de shikra. It's sheker and emes together. In as much as the world is called, is seen to have a teichen in itself, a tachlis in itself, that's kulei, that's sheker. In as much as this world is seen as a chetimtza, that's, I want to add, it's a little, this what I'm telling you is a little bit, it's a little bit of a deeper havana in a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. You say this world is daima to praise there, ha-chiratz will be praised there, before you get to the traklin. So what do you tell me? You tell me basically this world is nothing, the ikir, if we're from, how do we picture this world? We picture this world as a bad place where you have to suffer, you have to mucha, you have to this, you have to that, and then the Gan Eden comes afterwards and so on and so forth. So basically, this world is, it's not a proizdar, it's the road, it's the traffic jam to get to the traklet. I guess we would call it, it's the traffic jam, it's the carpool, the traffic jam, whatever you want to call it. It's the suffering before this world. It's not what Chazal said. Chazal said it's a proizdar, and hachnatzcho be proizdar to get to the traklin. In other words, this world is dechetimtzef it. Just like when I walk into a person's house, the entranceway gives me a sense of what the house is. This world, ava, means something to us because we have a mashal for it. We have a mashal of what ava is, a person's oyev, his parents, his wife, his children. So I have mishalim. And those mesholim I can now use to understand a musik, and so on. A person has in himself a desire, ambition. Ambition is a midah. We know what it's like to work hard and to be very successful in whatever area. So now we have a musik where we can transpose it to something else. So this world is a world of dimyon, and the word dimyon doesn't mean it's what we would call fantasy. But it really means comparison in Lashon Kodesh. It is the shell of something else, which we will learn that thing also. It's one of the reasons the Sefer of Chachma in Klal Yisrael that our greatest Chacham Shlomo Melech gave us is called Mishlei, because all Chachma is Mishalim. I'm trying to use things that you're aware of to understand things that you're not aware of. And Bimela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a sense of things, and now we have what to, for instance, let's give an example. There's a word used, again, it's farm, I'm just going with an example. The word used, gvanim, different shades of the same thing. That's a very powerful metaphor. It's the same thing, it's the same color, but it's different shades of it. The understanding that there are svarim that keep using the word gavon, and it's a word that describes nuances and shades of something which we couldn't have if we didn't have that muscle in front of our eyes. I want to add one more var I once heard that really is it ties up so well the world of drush. This I heard. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer had a son. I think this is Herschel Meltzer. He had two sons. He taught Tanakh. He was a more of a modern person. I think he was a professor of Tanakh, if I'm not mistaken. He once said, the pshat of drush is drush. The drush of drush is pshat. In other words, if you're looking for drush to tell you what the pasuk means literally, you're missing the boat. It's like chassidish of art. If you think that that's a taitch of the words, you're off by a lot. But if you're looking to see the content of the word by this play on words, then a lot of times you hit home on it. So this world is constructed where dimyan and chitzonis becomes either evil incarnate when that becomes the essence of things, or that becomes the chetimtza for things. So he says like this. We're talking about Goyal and Pur. And Haman put a Pur down. And that poor was in the way that, look at it. Let's look at this. He threw a gyral. The gyral that he threw, I hate to be corny and use a Yiddish expression, lasted from Tainis Esther to Purim. That's a Yiddish expression for something that's short-lived. You say it lasted from Tainis Esther to Purim. His poor of choosing that was very short-lived, but not long time. But who a gyral? The same poor that he threw became a girl for Klal Yisrael. So here we have something that in itself is of very, very ephemeral nature, very ephemeral duration. It lasted nothing. But it became a tfisa for us for what girl means mitzara kadosh baruch hu. So he says, this is the point he's saying, So the shlita of the sarm is in this world where we think that dimyon is emes, but there is an emes to it. The classos oimid ubechol inyan adimyon haemes dem yisrael begoyim ganke dugmasam rakshu vehefe. So it's a point of why it's v'nahafachu. This is his final point, really, in a sense, on this nekuda, that every time when I'm using a mashal to describe something, I'm going to use something that is not the thing itself, lehedya. It's going to be, for instance, if somebody doesn't want to eat, I have a child that doesn't want to eat this, and I tell him it tastes good, doesn't want to. I tell him, I'm telling you, it's as sweet as honey. Obviously, in other words, the kid thinks this is bitter, bad, and I'm using a mashal to describe something that is very different than what he assumes it to mean. If I tell a child about the moon, and I say the moon doesn't give any light, it's like a mirror. I'm the derech klal using something that becomes something else. The core of it is something very different. It's like a person who's disguised and dressed up. What he really is very different than what he's posing at. But from what he's wearing, I can tell what he's posing at. Let's see one more. Let's skip over just so that we keep some point here. And he spoke it so far. The next on the left-hand column, and Kufa Beis, the next left-hand column, the middle one. Valken chayev lipsume, ki ashikur humali dimyan, ve'en le machsheves emes klal. Aval itz b'nei Yisrael gam adimyan hu emes. Valken kor liyomim purim lahoyres, ki apur atzma goyrol v'gan klal nes. So he says the shikering, when a person is a shikur, he's kulay dimyan. And by umas ha'olam, that's you know, nothing of toiv and nothing of lasting value happens when a person is a shikur. When a person is when Klal Yisrael is a shikur, even though they say things that, even though it's dimyandik what they say, but there's emes to it. There was also something that left an indelible impression on me. I grew up in Lower East Side, the other side of the river, and it was pretty much a very down. It was down the hills neighborhood. By the time I was growing up, was kind of. It never was a great, you know, it never was a fancy. Now it's becoming actually very, very fancy, but it wasn't terribly fancy. And next to us, there was a place called the Bowery. It's an avenue where in those days, anybody who sort of skidded out of society, that was Skid Row. And on New York scale, everything in New York is big and grand. This is where people lay in the gutters, drunk, lo aleinu, and terrible. Really, you know, people had just become kind of, were like permanently drunk and very, very, very not pleasant sight, very difficult sight. The yeshiva wasn't that far away, and once in a while, people, on a especially cold night, people from Barry would come in and sleep on the floors, and then, real mess. One day I walked in the morning, and sure enough, there was somebody sleeping there out. And this person had a nephew who was learning yeshiva. I didn't know, but he told me, like, he sort of woke up, whatever. And he said, I'm a good-for-nothing bum. But my nephew, he's going to be a rabbi someday. And, you know, to hear that Koil Yaakov from Yadayim Shel Esav was an incredible... it was very, very powerful, very, very, it shook me up a lot. Just also the revelation of it, I didn't realize that there was a connection and so on. But in Klal Yisrael, within the matzav of Shichrus, there's, again, I'm not advocating kids getting drunk and so on and so forth, but at least I want to explain what it is. And therefore he says, Eitzav Neisrael gamma dimyanu emes. Klal Yisrael, since Klal Yisrael has a way of being toifis to shavish of something, so even in Dimyan, we need to look and find in the Kud of Emes. Valkein korol yom in Purim, lahoyreis, ki apur hu atzma geirol. They said, yes, we're hanging on to Haman's Pur because we found the geirol in the Pur. V'ugamkin b'chal neis. Valkein amigilo maschelas be'ois vav u'misayemes be'vav. Shu ois emes, ki edua be'zoiha. So the Megillah starts with a Vav and ends with a Vav. It says Vav is Ois Emes because it's straight down. It goes from top to bottom. It's a straight line. And that's a hallmark of Emes, that the top and the bottom is the same. I want to add two more points. One point he doesn't speak about, but I'd like to shtel tzu. There's a Chazal that Esav is called Esav because Shav Barasi. I created for naught. Shav. It's something that's very, very hard to understand. What does it mean? Akash Baruch created a Bria L'Shav. It also is something where we try to figure out, does Mechias Amalek mean that Amalek has no hope? Incorrigible? So to say that there was a Bria created that has no Matara, Kol Kulira, something that's not something that sits well. So let's understand the word Shav Barasi. There are two types of let's understand what the word Shav means in Halacha. There are two types of Shavuos that are Aser, that you chaya for, Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker. Shavuos Sheker means it's false. I swear that so-and-so did this, and he didn't do it. That's a Shavuos Sheker. A Shavuos Sheker has no value whatsoever. Really has no value. It's bad. It's kuli ra. Shavuos Shav is different. Shavuos Shav is if I swear that it's night outside now. There's no purpose to that Shavuos. Or the other, if I swear that it's not day outside, since it's a lie that no one buys into, it's also purposeless. Shavua Shav means it has no purpose. It leads to no place. Shav Barasi, let's give another example. If I say something is worthless, Shav means it's worthless. It means it itself doesn't lead to anything else. If I have an object that's worth a dollar, I can trade it in and get something for that dollar. If something is worth nothing, there's nowhere it can take me to. Shvua Shav means that it doesn't have a tachlis in itself. But if I give it a different tachlis, for instance, how much is a piece of wrapping paper worth? How much is a piece worth? Nothing. But if I wrap a gift with it, then it's worth a lot. The big difference if you walk into Chasen Kala holding a candelabra and saying, here, it's a present for you, or if I give it wrapped up in a nice box. Everyone knows that it's a world of difference if you come in with a little plastic bag and say, here, this is something for you, or it's gift wrap. So a gift wrap is worth nothing when you ask how much is a gift wrap worth, and it's worth everything. It makes a difference, tons of difference, when it's wrapping up something worthwhile. Shav Barasi means Esav has no tachlis within himself. Esav is the core of Umas Olam in that sense, and if we toifes it, if we try to be toifes it as something within itself, that's Shav. But if Esav is used for something else, then it's toif. Now, Amalek, in his mechia of Amalek, we deher Yeshua's Yisrael, so paradoxically, it's in the mechia itself that it gains its mitzias. Because when we got rid of that, we realized the yichud of Klal Yisrael, and that everything Amalek is wrong. So then you have the havlota of Klal Yisrael. If we look for any nekuda within Esav or within Amalek worth saving, so in other Umas Olam there's always a nekuda worth saving. In Esav and Amalek there doesn't seem, even though Chazal say that Neban of Shulhaman or in Kaira, that needs, no matter how you learn, that needs its own resolution. How does that stim with being Meichazar Shalmalek? But whatever it is, if we look within Amalek itself for Tachlis, then we got it wrong. If within his mechia, it's like it says, they become offer tachas kapas v'arget tzadikim, then it does get a tachas into Elis. So Esav is shav barasi means, if I were to look into Esav within itself, the context of Esav, it's cool, it there's nothing there. When Esav is there to be mavlet, the chelik of Yaakov, and to give it its right mitzias, that's when it becomes something worth. So let's finish, I guess, just wrap up and this nekuda here. Lemaisa, he's touching on one of the deepest nekuda of the Bria, and that is the Alma de Shikra, the role of Dimyan as the Koyach and the Bria, that either is Mamlich a Sheker, a Shav, as the Melech, and that becomes, so a person whose Koyach HaDimyan is there just for Dimyan, then the person himself is living in a world that doesn't exist. There's no more hefek metzias than a person that, versus the person who's kol kuloi tofus and ochus and understands it all as a mashal of something else. One of the I don't know what the word to say is approaches to Yiddishkeit that is definitely extremely important one, but misunderstood is the understanding. When we go around and we say that a person needs to understand everything in the Bria has a tachlis and there's a need for everything and everything has its value and its worth and so on and so forth, it's all true. It's all true because it's something which is almost axiomatic to us. Like, Hashem didn't create many things to shove. But it really depends on where the person's nefesh is. For instance, well, let's take something simple. A person is very successful. And whatever he does, his name is in the papers, he's very wealthy, he's powerful, has connections, his pictures all over, and so on and so forth. If the person's nefesh is nene, if he feels for 1 minute, ah, I made it, then he's living in a world of dimyon. In other words, when do I say all these things are worth something? It's when I deherit as serving as tachlis. When Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it says Rabbeinu HaKadosh picked up his fingers, his 10 fingers before he died, and he said he wasn't nena, one kiyuzev with one etzba cotton from this world. So Pashas, you learn it's sort of an asceticism lishma. It's good not to be nena and so on and so forth. It's miyuchet Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh had it all. Chazal point him as the wealthiest, most well-connected. The Rambam writes about him that there wasn't a milo or an asset, so to speak, that he didn't possess, whether it was no L'shainis. The Rambam, he writes about Rira Kaddish, an extraordinary L'shainis in his Akdama to Pirsham Shnayis. He sees Rabbeinu HaKadosh as the dogma, and his wealth, and his power, and the respect that Basoilam had, and Taninus, and so on. If he would have been Nana from Etzba Cotton, he would have been living in a fool's paradise. Then the Pshat means that Rabbeinu HaKadosh saw the Huad, that the Ninus was a personal friend of his. He had him in his Rolodex or in his short list for calling or whatever it is. That becomes Nefach to being a world of Shav Sheker. But if there's nothing, and my question was, every Nekuda here is a dimya for something else. Where's this going to? Where's this going to? Where's this going to? The ability to make this world, yes, certainly we live in this world, and this world has a tachlis. Every single dot in this world is a dimyan. If we see it as a world in its own, then we lost ourselves in the world of dimyan, and that's it's a bubble that's kule sheker, the entire bubble sheker. If we deherd its tachlis could be to be used for something. It starts to be to understand something. The like we said, the ava, the yira, the chidah was one of the most well traveled gedolim, and he wrote a travelogue of everything that he saw, and the palaces and the kings, and they respected him. He was a very charismatic, extraordinarily impressive person. He had covered melachim literally, and he saw everything and he noted everything. He deherd it as im lo ever ritzayne kach lo yisutzalas kam v'kama. This is what the world of malchus looks like on its downside. So I need to use it as a dimyan for what it looked like b'shleimus. If you honestly walk that way, this entire world becomes a beis medrash to understand something else. It's totally in the person. Purim is a zman when that sort of that crossing in the road, that fork in the road comes up. It's we're dealing in some ways with the most core nekuda of emes and sheker in the world, and that's koach hadimyon. The poor, it's when we deher that the poor of Haman became the girl for Kal Yisrael, that's Hainu Hach. In the poor of Haman, which was the kvias of the demise of Kal Yisrael, that itself was a tiny speck that had no kiyum, it didn't go any place. And we deherd the girl of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking Kal Yisrael as girl Nachlosoi, that's where we deherd the girl from that. Shbezoich HaBez Hashem to take the entire world of Dimyon and to be mehafach it as a Dimyon to the Oymek and to the Emes that's supposed to be medamot.